expert on the Pakistan-India conflict. We have the pleasure of welcoming you back to the Morning Show to discuss this very important issue. Good morning, Imran.
Good morning. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you with us. We had a handshake taking place between the leaders of Pakistan and India, but that's all it seemed to be, just a handshake. What is the situation on the ground? Any improvement at all?
The fact of the matter is that, commenting on what you said a little while earlier, that it would take divine intervention, and I hope you did not mean divine brown. What is happening in India and Pakistan really seriously is a situation that is rapidly getting out of hand.
Mm.
The Indian head of the army has basically said that India is ready for war, a conventional war or nuclear if needed. And these kinds of statements are not going to help defuse the situation
at all.
And the U.S. cannot afford to sit at the sidelines just taking a wait-and-see attitude, because a nuclear war is not the kind of thing you can wait and see and clean up the next day.
Well, Imran,
right now, nothing is being done about it.
Well, Imran, in today's Times of India newspaper, the Army Chief of India says that India is ready for war and peace. But if there is a war, they, meaning Pakistan, will find out that this man can bite. What is your response to that?
Actually, I don't know if it is a place of a general to be saying if India is ready for peace.
Right.
I think that statement has come from the Prime Minister and anybody else, like the Interior Minister, etc., who have been making the belligerent statements. In the case of Pakistan, Pakistan has been asking for a discussion. India has been refusing nonstop. Pakistan has been asking for international mediation. India has been refusing that. Pakistan has been asking for UN resolutions to be implemented. India has been refusing that. So, of course, India has taken advantage of the situation that terrorists took a strike at the parliament building in India, and they are using that as an excuse to go after Pakistan. The problem is that if you push Pakistan too far into a corner, then there might be a situation where Pakistan is left like an animal that is cornered, that has no option but to strike. The other risk is that if India does not step down the rhetoric, things can be misconstrued. One person's mistaken or silly statement can be taken as this is what we're doing in the next 5 minutes or the next 5 hours.
Exactly.
And then somebody might take a preemptive swipe at the other. And that is a very dangerous situation, especially with the nuclear option that is available there.
Imran Anwar, journalist and political analyst, is talking to us about the situation in Pakistan and India outside of the consequences of a nuclear explosion, somebody releasing it. For the American audience to fully grasp this, there is always, what is in it for us? How will it affect us outside of the nuclear fallout? Tell us about some of the American interests in the area to stop this, their motivation to stop this situation from escalating even further.
Excellent question, and even though we may be sitting 10,000 miles away, anyway, the problem is that anything that happens there is going to have an impact on us. Item number one, we have people on the ground in Pakistan who are using Pakistani Air Force bases to attack Al-Qaeda terrorist training camps in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have to be out of there as soon as possible. Two, Pakistan's army was managing and monitoring the border as Al-Qaeda was being routed. They were trying to escape into Pakistan, and as they were being arrested, they were being handed over to the U.S. As you saw, a plane load of them was just flown to Cuba today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Pakistan had already moved half of its forces from there to the Indian border now, and if any more of them, Pakistan doesn't really care about the Al-Qaeda, etc., people coming into Peshawar and going back and forth, because that's been happening for years.
Mm.
They do care about the Indians coming across the border on the other side.
Mm.
So that
say that one more time, Imran. Say it one more time, that Pakistan does not care about members of Al-Qaeda coming into Pakistan?
See, the problem is, if people from Al-Qaeda, or even if Osama bin Laden drove across in an SUV into Pakistan, stayed there for a week and drove back to Afghanistan, it does not impact the health and financial well-being and the very existence of Pakistan as an Indian incursion or a nuclear attack on Pakistan does.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you care if a few people came in and out of the Mexican border if you were at war with, for example, Nazi Germany or the Soviet Union?
It's a bigger picture, yes.
So So in that case, you know, the risk is there, number one. Number two, it's a nuclear conflict. If things get out of hand, nuclear effects might stay for a long time. Three, China is right on the border with India. Mm-hmm. Will China get involved? Mm-hmm. If China gets involved with India, are we going to step in or what?
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, Russia is right there. There are a lot of unstable ex-Soviet states there with nuclear weapons and Muslim populations
mm-hmm.
who feel that they're persecuted. If Pakistan, a Muslim country, is attacked by India, which is a Hindu country, at the same time that the Palestinians, as we saw in today's New York Times even, you know, 500 Palestinians were left homeless mm-hmm. by the bulldozing of the Israeli people, the Israeli government bulldozing their homes. So if things like that start getting perceived as happening, this will get into a much bigger, much more dangerous situation, especially with the number of nuclear weapons out there in these countries that can be stolen. And if any one of those gets stolen, put on a cargo ship and heads to the United States, we're all directly at risk of nuclear catastrophe here in the United States. So it's in our interest to get involved right now and to make sure that this situation does not get out of hand.
Imran, has already been an exchange of fire on the border, correct?
Absolutely. And that goes on an ongoing basis, actually. The risk is not just that, you know, a few people fire at each other. The thing is that there's now there's mortar fire, if artillery starts getting used, and now we also have tanks rolling on the street. And if the general is there with the Indian Eastern Command, which is in addition to the Western Command that they already have on the Pakistan border. Pakistan is on the west of India. So the problem is they put both their divisions, both their commands on the Pakistani border. India is 10 times the size of Pakistan. Pakistan is a very narrow country. Pakistan is almost like a tall, thin guy, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So India can easily bisect the country trying to cut off supplies, for example. So Pakistan has been on record as saying, basically, that it cannot afford to let that happen. And if it is in that situation, it may have to use the nuclear weapons because they cannot afford to have their nuclear weapons sitting in a shelf waiting for the Indians to destroy them. And two, they cannot afford to have India just take over the country.
Yeah.
And that actually is a big risk that Pakistan may have no option but to use nuclear.
That's why you use the analogy of the trap dog. Imran Anwar, as always, enlightening journalist, political analyst, expert on the Pakistan-India conflict. Thank you so much for the enlightenment, and we will be keeping in touch with you for this.
Thank you very much for having me.
Have you set aside with this day, sir?